From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's the tightest turnaround of the season. We'll be looking at how to adapt your teams for the next set of festive fixtures on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello again. It's that awkward time of the year when you aren't quite sure what day of the week it is between Christmas and New Year. But no, you aren't even more confused. It is Monday. And yes, this is Kelly Summers back with you on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. If you celebrate Christmas, we hope you had a brilliant one. But more importantly, we hope you had an FPL points filled Boxing Day and Game Week 19. Here to reflect on that and look ahead to the imminent Game Week 20, it's the analyst Duncan Alexander. Happy Christmas, Duncan.
Happy Christmas. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, and festive greetings as well to football journalist Tom Williams.
Hi, Kelly. Season's greetings.
And finally, a man who's been to Lapland but still kept his FPL team intact. It's FPL Family's Lee Bonfield.
Hey, Kelly. Merry Christmas.
Yes, a happy Christmas to you all. Thanks for being with me on this Monday morning. It's been a very busy week for you, Lee, but it's been even busier in FPL. I should also add, at the point of recording, we are doing so ahead of the final match of Game Week 19, Newcastle versus Manchester United. But on Sunday, six games saw 28 goals scored, a Boxing Day bonanza. Nine of those goals came between City and Leicester. Pep Guardiola's side winning 6-3 for City. Raheem Sterling returning for the fifth time in six game weeks, whilst Riyad Mahrez got his third successive double digits, though it was frustrating for Bernardo Silva owners. He blanked whilst Phil Foden was benched. Arsenal won 5-0 at Norwich. Huge hauls there for Bukayo Saka, Kieran Tierney and Alexander Lacazette, plus another Emile Smith-Rowe goal from the bench. Tottenham's revival continued with Kane, Son and Moore on target in a 3-0 win, and there was a 3-1 win for Chelsea at Aston Villa. Two more Jorginho penalties, plus a Romelu Lukaku goal and assist from the bench. So still Newcastle versus Manchester United to come, but let's check in with the panel on their game week so far. Now, Duncan, you took a -4 and you've actually finished the total for the week on 35. You did have a couple of big scorers, though, in Madison and Lacazette. How do you reflect on it all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I captained Bernardo, which recently has been okay, but he seems to have hit this odd. I mean, how on earth the City win 6-3 and Bernardo just, you know, goes through the game,
crazy,
and
right?
Do anything. So that was frustrating. But I brought in Lacazette because I figured that he now feels like a sort of semi-focal point for Arsenal. And that worked out really well. So I guess that kind of saved me, really. But yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult period, as we all know. Possibly going to free hit for the next match week. Ooh. But interested to see what Lee thinks, because he did that for this one. So I'd be interested to see how he feels that went.
Yeah, Lee, let's talk about your free hit, shall we? Because there were 700,000 free hits played, helping managers cope with the three matches postponed in Game Week 19. Duncan's already thinking about doing his. Yours didn't go too badly, did it?
It went all right. Yeah, it went all right. I desperately wanted to hold it, though. I hear you, Duncan, because I wanted to do the same as you. I wanted to hold it for some of the uncertainty that we're, I guess, going to have over the next few weeks. We've got a double game. We've got potential double game weeks as well coming up in the next few weeks. So I wanted to hold it. But I looked at my team and certainly my midfield and front line. I either had players that weren't playing at all, or so I had postponed games. I had Smith Rowe and Foden, who both were I was unsure as to whether they were going to even start, and I was right on both of those counts. And I had Watkins as well, who had Chelsea. So I looked at my team and I just thought, that needs a free hit. It needs a free hit. And some of the players that I bought in done pretty well for me. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with the free hit. But now I've got to ride out the next few weeks as other FPL managers play that free hit. You know, I'll have to kind of ride out those changes.
We spoke about the free hit last week when we heard that FPL had given us this additional one available from Game Week 20. What would you say is the minimum number of players you should try to field? Because clearly there, you looked at your team, Lee, and just felt you didn't quite have enough players with points potential. What's the kind of benchmark, would you say?
Well, I think a lot depends, Kelly, on how many games are postponed. Now, coming up to Game Week 20, we've already got two games that we know are postponed, and we've got to keep our eyes out for any news of any others, but we know that they're two off. I think if you can, in the current state of play, if you can get 9 or 10 or a full 11 out and not have a bench maybe, that's probably okay. But if you're getting down into the 6 or 7s or maybe 8, then that's, I think, the time to play the free hit.
And also, I think the other thing is the games that are already off include Arsenal and Aston Villa, which I think are teams that a lot of people have brought players in from because they've got, you know, they've been playing well. It's kind of a rebirth under in both clubs. So that also affects it, you know, certain which matches it is and which isn't.
Yes, in case you haven't heard, Arsenal versus Wolves and Leeds versus Aston Villa have been postponed in game week 20. We'll talk very shortly about how we can navigate those absences. Tom, we haven't heard from you yet. You took a minus four this week. Interestingly, the players you brought in were the same as me, Cristiano Ronaldo and Son Heung-min. Were you happy with the team's output or frustrated? You're looking quite pensive. I can see you right now and you don't look too happy.
I basically limped through the festive period like a sort of fantasy football tiny Tim, Kelly, just trying to hold it together, attracting sympathetic glances wherever I go. Every time a game has been called off, it's affected my team in some way. So each of the last three game weeks, I've had a really sort of patched up 11 out on my virtual FPL pitch. I mean, I had Tino Livramento, even Tony, both in my starting 11 on Boxing Day. And I mean, it went okay. I was saved by Brighton getting that clean sheet against Brentford because I had Robert Sanchez in goal. Emile Smith-Rowe coming off the bench and scoring for the third game running helped as well. The Son Heung-min captaincy decision paid off more or less. But having brought Ronaldo in and ummed and ahed over whether to captain him, and now I found myself in the strange position of wanting him to score points against Newcastle, but not too many points, because if he does, I'll just regret having not given him the armband. So it's been a difficult and confusing time, I would say.
I feel like this is therapy for Tom and his FPL team. I can see the sorrow in his
this
eyes.
This is exactly the purpose that this podcast serves for me. It's just pure therapy. Get all the negativity off your chest. Listen to whatever Lee or Sam or whichever expert is on says. Copy what they do. And then, you know, just cross your fingers, hope for the best.
Yeah, for me, just seeing Tom unhappy is really good for my well-being. So, yeah,
it feels like we're all in the same boat, doesn't it, at least?
Well, let's try and lighten the mood then, shall we? And remind managers that you will have another free hit available to them for game week 20, enabling you to make unlimited transfers in a match week, as Lee did this week, before your squad reverts back to its existing state for the following game week. A reminder then, Arsenal versus Wolves and Leeds versus Villa will not take place in game week 20. But let's look ahead to the game week in particular, as well as reflecting on some of the big talking points from the weekend as we try to get our teams ready. Well, as we often do on a Monday podcast, we're going to pick out some of the key talking points from the weekend to help you get those teams ready for Tuesday's deadline, less than 24 hours between the end of game week 19 and the start of game week 20. One of the biggest headlines to come from game week 19 was the fact that the highest scoring player in FPL, Mo Salah, was the most transferred out player going into the game week. 1.5 million managers selling him, meaning he actually suffered a price fall for the first time this season. Tom, you were one of those managers. Tell us what your thinking was.
So I looked at the fact that Mo Salah didn't have a fixture on Boxing Day. I looked at Liverpool's subsequent two fixtures, away at Leicester, albeit a very leaky Leicester, and then away at Chelsea. And then at the fact that he will be heading off to the Africa Cup of Nations with Egypt, all being well, and thought now is the time to make the dramatic changes that my FPL team has been crying out for. I suspect had I not gone into the Boxing Day fixtures on the back of three consecutive red arrow weeks, I might have done something a bit more sensible. But it felt like the sort of grand sweeping gesture that needed to be made. So I took out Salah and Ollie Watkins and brought in Son Heung-min and Cristiano Ronaldo. And I'm now just praying that Salah doesn't score too many goals at Leicester. I mean, he's guaranteed to score at least one at Leicester, I think. But I'm hoping that in the long run, this will prove to have been a wise move. And that maybe I've caught some of my mini-league rivals on the hoof by sort of tackling the Mo Salah bull by the horns early on.
How big's your sofa, Tom?
How big's my sofa? Why? In case I need to hide behind it.
You're going to be hiding behind that sofa during that Liverpool-Leicester game. He's going to... Leicester have conceded the most amount of shots in the box so far this season. Defensively, they were looking shaky before that City game. And then I think City ruthlessly put them to the sword, didn't they? Despite actually Leicester looking okay at the beginning of the second half, at least offensively. Defensively, they look shocking. And Liverpool well-rested coming into this game. I would get behind that sofa if I were you.
I'm we behind already, mate. Don't worry. I've been behind the sofa for the last three FPL weekends already.
I mean, we saw what Liverpool's reserve team essentially did to Leicester's first team in the EFL Cup just before Christmas, and now the first team get a go. And yeah, I think even with Salah, even with the Chelsea game as well, I mean, it's not like he struggles in big games. So those two matches, I would have said you'd be mad to sell Salah, and lo and behold.
Remind me how many points you got this weekend.
Yeah, none from Salah, but he's rested, so don't worry about it.
Do you understand, though, the decision? Because a lot of managers did do it, 1.5 million, as I just said. I'll hold my hands up. I was one of them as well. I looked at the bigger picture and thought AFCON is around the corner. And when you look at maybe who you're going to captain over the next few weeks and looking at Liverpool's fixture list, maybe Mo Salah isn't the only captain option over that period. Do you understand the thinking? Maybe you can make me feel a bit better here as well, Lee.
I can totally get it. I totally understand it. Because I think if you look on paper, you look at Leicester away, Chelsea away, and then obviously some blanks as the AFCON rolls in, then for sure I can see it. And of course, you know, you look elsewhere and you look at Manchester United with Burnley at home, Wolves at home, and then some nice fixtures after that. And then you look at Cristiano Ronaldo and say, well, okay, how am I going to get to somebody like Ronaldo? I've got to sell Salah to do it, probably. There are not many managers that are going to have both right now, as well as a balanced squad elsewhere. So he looked like a very obvious sell. But for me, he's fixture proof, Mo. He's proved that he's the best FPL asset in the game, regardless of who he's playing against. Now, the fact that Leicester have just shipped 6 goals to Man City is a bit of a wake-up call, I think, for anybody that has sold him. So, and if he can get the Chelsea game as well, which I think he will do before he goes off to the African Cup of Nations. Chelsea not exactly looking defensively really astute right now. I think Kante picked up an injury in that Villa game last night, which is going to be, you know, that's going to make them defensively less solid. So, hey, listen, I think, you know, I would have Salah regardless of what game he's going to play. And if he's got these two games, I want him for those two games. Then when he goes off to the African Cup of Nations, then I'll reassess depending on how many games we think he's going to miss. But for the next two, you've got to have him.
So the conclusion then from our first talking point is Tom, hide behind your sofa. Mo Salah sellers, it could be a difficult couple of game weeks. Is it fair to say?
Yeah, I think, as Lee said, I think these two game weeks have got huge potential for Salah to do his usual thing. So I'll both enjoy watching that happen and thinking of Tom while I do it. So.
Well, loss of the Salah sales will have come as a result of his blank in game week 19, as Tom mentioned. That leads us on to our next talking point, as Arsenal will miss out in game week 20. Their game against Wolves, which was due to be the early game on Tuesday the 28th, has been postponed due to COVID cases in the Wolves camp. This will affect a lot of managers who have invested in them, particularly after they won their fourth game in a row with their 5-0 win at Norwich in game week 19. So what's the plan with Arsenal players then, Duncan?
Well, this fixture postponement has really scuppered me, because I think Arsenal, as a lot of people have done, they're looking really good. They seem to have hit on a system that works really well. The fixtures look pretty good. So, yeah, this is the postponement that's probably going to make me free hit, I think, because, you know, got Martinelli, Lacazette, as I said, came and did well. I was planning either Ramsdale or maybe Odegaard as well. This is going to be a big issue for people and will force a lot of people's hand.
Yeah, what would you say to do with Arsenal players, Tom? Is it a case of just bench them? Because actually, when you look at the bigger picture, they've got blanks in 25 and 27, and their next fixtures, Manchester City at home and Spurs away, they're not the easiest of fixtures. Is this kind of an excuse to maybe start to sell them?
Sadly, Kelly, I, like a lot of other FPL managers, just cannot look at the bigger picture at the moment. I'm operating week to week. I'm down to the bare bones. I've stuck with Emile Smith Rowe, even though he's lost his place in the starting 11. In slightly less chaotic times, I might be thinking about subbing him out and bringing in a more reliable starter. But because of all these postponements and the need to just get a relatively decent 11 on the pitch without taking too many transfer hits, I'm just going to bench my two Arsenal boys. I've got Ben White and Smith Rowe, and hope that the 11 I put out can do the job. I mean, like, if by some miracle your squad is untouched by all these COVID postponements, then I think you can perhaps start to look at how Arsenal's fixtures are about to take a bit of a hit. But for me, I'm just I'm at the bottom of an FPL fixture problem. Well, and I'm not
an official phrase.
I'm not there. Yeah, I've gone from Tiny Tim to Timmy O'Toole.
That is a good point about, you know, we do generally look at fixtures, you look at, you know, the difficulty and the runs, but at the moment, it's almost too risky to do that. You do almost have to take it week by week a little bit. And obviously, you can plan to a certain extent, but as we've known the last few weeks, things come around the corner pretty fast.
Yeah, this Arsenal postponement came around the corner pretty fast. I'm sure lots of managers after that 5-0 win at Norwich were thinking, how can I get their players in? You mentioned Emile Smith-Rowe there, Tom. Lee, he's an interesting one, isn't he? Because I think a few managers have thought about selling him because he's not been starting, but it was the third successive match that he came off the bench and scored in just the 44 minutes in total to get those three goals. But does this maybe now force managers' hands? If they are looking to sell an Arsenal player this week, if they haven't got 11, should he be the man to make way?
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? So much went right on my free hit, but this was the thing that went wrong. So I got Smith Rowe in my actual FPL team. And then on the free hit, I thought, well, he's not starting games, and can this, you know, scoring run off the bench continue? I'm backing it not to. So I bought in Martinelli. I did a straight switch from Smith Rowe to Martinelli. Arsenal go and bang five against Norwich with no Martinelli involvement, and Smith Rowe comes off the bench again. And to compound matters, Sam had Smith Rowe, so she was cheering for that, you know, that coming off the bench again for Smith Rowe. It's incredible that he keeps doing this, by the way. Absolutely incredible. But I go back to the point you made, Kelly, which is, has his starting place now at risk? And I think it is, because the other players around him are playing so well. Ødegaard is the creative hub of that team now. You just got to watch them to know that. And he's not going to drop Martinelli in the form he's in right now. He's the midfielder with the eye for goal. Saka, again, brilliant performance yesterday. Actually, weirdly for Saka, who often doesn't perform or get the FPL points that his underlying stats deserve, he was actually top for XG overachievers in the game against Norwich. So what does that mean? That means that actually his underlying stats suggested he probably shouldn't have had any FPL points. But you've only got to watch that game to know that he was one of the key players and probably the star man for Arsenal. All that goes to say, to answer your question, Kelly, Smith Rowe, for me, given that they now blank and then they've got two difficult fixtures against Man City and Spurs, he's probably quite a reluctant sell for me, given that he probably has lost his place in that Arsenal team. So, yeah, probably going to get rid of Smith Rowe.
What are you going to do about your goalkeeper as well, Lee? Because I notice you have got Aaron Ramsdale.
Yeah.
A lot of managers have Aaron Ramsdale, don't have a playing backup goalkeeper. Ramsdale is the most selected goalkeeper in the game. His price now up to 5.2 million. The second most selected goalkeeper in the game, which I think tells you a lot, is Ben Foster, a budget keeper, 1.1 million less. Ben Foster is out injured. That's actually the double up that I have as well. What would you suggest managers do who now don't have a goalkeeper for this week? Do you just go with 10, or should you be strengthening your backup goalkeeper?
Well, I fall exactly into that bracket, Kelly. I've got Ramsdale and I've got the Brighton backup keeper, Steele, right? So I'm in a real quandary as to what to do for next game week. And actually, I'm probably going to have, as Tom suggested earlier, you know, other fires to put out. I've got other things I need to do in my team. So the likelihood is I'm going to roll without a goalkeeper in game week 20 and just accept that I'm not going to have one. The fixtures after the blank for Arsenal, as I mentioned before, City and Spurs. Now, not expecting clean sheets necessarily in either of those for Arsenal. But the one thing you do get with Ramsdale is save points. He does love a save, Ramsdale. And when he does those saves, he often gets underlying bonus points as well. So if by some little miracle, Arsenal can pull off a clean sheet in either one of those games, I'd expect Ramsdale to back that up with save points and then potentially with bonus points as well. So I'm not necessarily looking to make a luxury transfer to move Ramsdale on right now. Probably just going to roll without a goalkeeper in 20 and accept that he's coming back in for City in 21.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very glamorous or exciting, does it, using transfers for goalkeepers either? And like you said there, Lee, I'm sure lots of managers have lots of other fires to put out. Now, staying in North London for our next talking point, Spurs are finding their feet under Antonio Conte. We spoke on the last podcast about the Spurs players we should be targeting, and two of those, of course, were Son and Kane, and they both returned. Last week, Son Heung-min was the most transferred in player of the game week. Tom, you did this. I know maybe you're not too happy with your team in general, but are you at least happy to have him?
Yes, I am. And I think the fact that I could do Salah to Son made getting rid of Salah a bit more palatable, because as we know, Son is a proven FPL performer. Spurs have rediscovered form under Antonio Conte. They're keeping clean sheets at one end of the pitch and they're scoring goals at the other end. They've got a good set of fixtures to come. They've also got a lot of games in hand, which means that, you know, when we hit these double game weeks, which we should be hitting pretty soon, that means double fixtures and hopefully double points for Spurs players. So yeah, amid a fairly bleak overall outlook, Son was my God. I was going to say Son was my ray of sunshine, but I think that is
even, oh, don't go there.
That is a pun even too naff for me. But yeah, Son was one bright spot over the Boxing Day fixtures.
It's a shame we haven't got Julian Laron on the podcast, though he has managed to get himself on the last two. So maybe it's a relief for all of us that we don't have him on crowing again. But he always tells us that Harry Kane is like his son. Two goals in a row now for Harry Kane. Are we starting to look at him, Duncan?
Yeah, I mean, he's still not looking back to his absolute best, but he is getting chances, and that's the key thing for a striker, I think, even if he's not scoring with every single one. Also, you look at Spurs fixtures, you know, Southampton away, Watford away, you know, Kane has got, he's been involved in 16 goals and 11 Premier League starts against Southampton, and Son as well has been involved in 12 goals and 11 Premier League games against Southampton. So those two have got particularly good record. You might remember last season, wasn't it, the game where Kane scored one and then assisted four for Son Heung-min, which is a pretty rare achievement in the Premier League. So it's a pretty tempting time to go in with Spurs. Although, to be honest, under Conte, their best performances have come at home. But then if they can't do it away at Southampton and Watford, then you would start to question the revolution. So yeah, I mean, I think it is an apt time to go big on Spurs.
Yeah, maybe do go big on Spurs, but maybe not necessarily just on Kane and Son. We'll be honest, the reason we mainly put Spurs in the running order for this podcast is because of the exceptional performance of Lucas Moura. He got 17 points on Sunday. And Lee, congratulations. That was one decision you certainly got right in your free hit. But I'm wondering if you want him more long term now.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. It certainly went pretty right for me in the free hit bringing him in. And I looked at the Liverpool game, the Spurs-Liverpool game. Obviously, I watched that pretty closely. And Moura only played 9 minutes in that game. And I think that was a tactical, you know what you're going to get with Antonio Conte, right? He will pick the team for the opposition, very tactically astute. And he got that absolutely right against Liverpool, not to play Moura. But he has come out in the last couple of weeks, Conte, and talked about how important Moura is in the side. I think that he prefers that 4-3-3. I don't think the formation with the two up front against Liverpool is naturally what Conte will go to. And I think Moura is an important player in that side. He just wasn't right for the Liverpool game. So given that he had that bit of a rest, therefore, in that Liverpool game, only the 9 minutes, I did expect him to come in and play the full 90 against Crystal Palace. And of course, there was a lot of rhetoric about, you know, the uncertainty, whether the game was going to go ahead, etc. So I kind of got a good feel about Lucas Moura in this game, and he did the business. So yeah, at 6.4 million, if you can't find a way to get into, you know, Son and Kane, and having both of those is going to be pretty restrictive for your FPL team just because of the cost, then 6.4 for Lucas Moura looks pretty good. And of course, he's a massive differential still, under 2% owned. Now, whether he stays that way, given the fixtures coming up and the performance that he had against Palace, I don't know, but a really nice differential that certainly for me works out pretty well this week.
Yeah, reminder with Spurs that they've got those three postponed games to be rearranged as well, which arguably makes their players even more attractive. They face Southampton on Tuesday. Let's now check out the rest of the fixtures awaiting us. Your game week 20 deadline is Tuesday, the 28th of December. It's a little bit later, 1:30 p.m. UK time, due to there being no early game now. That is 90 minutes before the kickoff in the 3 p.m.s, which are Palace versus Norwich, Southampton against Spurs, and Watford back in action against West Ham. The late game is Leicester versus Liverpool. Two matches on Wednesday, Chelsea-Brighton for Brentford host Manchester City. Two on Thursday as well, Everton against Newcastle, Rafa Benitez welcoming his former club, and Ralph Rangnick's Manchester United host Burnley in the final game on Thursday night. As always, our panel pick out one fixture and give us the FPL lowdown. Come on then, Lee, we've already talked about Mo Salah. Tell us what else we need to know about Leicester against Liverpool.
Yeah, I've already given my opinion on the size of Tom's sofa and him being behind it as a non-Salah owner for that game. But it is worth mentioning that Trent Alexander-Arnold has actually bettered Salah in 7 of their last 8 matches. Actually, if you add up all the scores over those 8 matches, it's an aggregate win of 74-58 for Trent. And he's a bonus point magnet as well. He's got 3 bonus points in 4 successive matches now, Trent Alexander-Arnold. So if you were brave enough to move the armband away from the Egyptian king, then it is probably over to Trent Alexander-Arnold or maybe Diogo Jota, who I think is going to have, but you know, I think Jota's going to play a big part in that Liverpool team over the next few weeks as Salah and Mane go off to the African Cup of Nations. So he's a hold as well. So if you were feeling brave, I think it's probably Trent Alexander-Arnold to go with the armband. But everything that I said before about Leicester's leaky defence, we said it at the top of the show, no side has allowed more shots in the box. They now rank 17th and 18th for goals conceded and clean sheets kept this season. So the Leicester City defence, even though we saw it at its worst against Manchester City, has been pretty bad all season. And they've had injuries, they've had players coming in and out, etc. Johnny Evans has been fit, unfit. They've had Ndidi fit and unfit. So they've had to change that defence a lot this season. And that hasn't helped. That lack of continuity hasn't helped. So I'm backing, obviously, backing Liverpool to do pretty well in that game. However, I will point out that actually Leicester City going forward haven't been too bad. And they've got one of the form players in the Premier League right now. James Maddison, absolutely on fire. His last five FPL scores have included four double-digit hauls, 16, 10, 1, 16 and 10. So actually up to game week 13, he'd only scored one goal all season, but has now scored four and assisted five since that game week 13. So he really is the man on form right now. So if you were thinking about bringing him in on a free hit, say, or maybe for a short term, I don't know whether you'd bring him in for that Liverpool game. I don't think so. But actually the fixtures after Liverpool read Norwich and Burnley and Brighton, there's some fixtures there that Maddison can really take advantage of. And he's still very low owned in FPL. So I think he's the one to have, Kelly, if you're going to go into Leicester. And Duncan, you've had him for a little while now, right?
Yeah, about the last 4 weeks, I think. And as you say, with those scores, it's been a bright light in a gloomy winter. So that's been good. I mean, just to reiterate as well, if Leicester concede three more goals in this game, it'll equal their worst ever calendar year number of goals conceded in the Premier League, which when you think back to, you know, the 90s and early 2000s, when they did struggle quite a lot, that just shows how loose they've been at the back. And as we know, they're really not very good at defending set pieces. And again, I think that does lend itself to maybe captaining Trent Alexander-Arnold, who obviously puts in a pretty fearsome delivery.
Tom, anything to add on this fixture? I know it's not one you're particularly looking forward to, not having Mo Salah.
Yeah, I mean, as Lee has now pointed out multiple times, I will be watching this game with a degree of trepidation, having got shot of Mo Salah. But I am a Trent Alexander-Arnold owner. And as Duncan says, he's obviously a key part of the way that Liverpool play. And with Leicester's well-documented fragility at set pieces, he could get in on the action. And I do recall within the last two seasons, Liverpool, they went and won at Leicester 4-0 a few years back, didn't they? And Trent Alexander-Arnold absolutely ran the show. So with any luck, he will cushion the blow of that Salah absence, just to stick to the sofa theme there.
I think I too will be hiding behind my sofa as well as a non-Mo Salah owner. Gosh, that doesn't sound good when you say it out loud, does it? Come on, move on. Let's talk about your fixture then. Which one have you picked out?
I am looking at Brentford against Manchester City. And as we all know, City have been scoring goals for fun the last few weeks, 17 in their last three fixtures. So, of course, if you've had any Man City attackers, you've been racking up the points. Only, of course, if you've had certain City attackers, you haven't. I've got Bernardo Silva and Phil Foden. Bernardo Silva has played 2.5 of those matches and hasn't returned once. 1 point in the 7-0 win over Leeds, 2 points in the 4-0 win at Newcastle, and 2 points in the 6-3 win over Leicester. I also brought in Phil Foden with exceptional timing, just in time for him to be put on the naughty step for that trip to Newcastle. So I'm going into this Brentford-Man City game with Bernardo and Phil Foden and João Cancelo. I'm hoping that Phil Foden, having spent a bit of time on the naughty step, will now be back in the starting 11. And Bernardo Silva, I mean, clearly from an FPL perspective, his recent performances have been disappointing. But just watching the highlights of that Leicester game, he was getting himself in good positions. He was very close to picking up an assist with a really nice cushion layoff for Raheem Sterling. He's in the penalty area. He's on the edge of the 6-yard box. He's in all the areas you'd hope him to be in. The ball just isn't falling for him. So I'm hoping that with a bit of trademark Pep Guardiola rotation, Phil Foden will be back in. Bernardo Silva will keep getting in those goal-scoring positions and might stick a couple away. And that João Cancelo will continue to produce with the regularity that he's shown pretty much since the start of the season. I also have a Brentford player in my starting 11 in Ivan Toney. Not expecting great things from him. But as I said before, I have bigger problems than optimizing every single player in my 11. So I'm just going to have to hope that he gets a chance at some point as well.
Yeah, the Bernardo Silva conundrum's interesting, isn't it? Because he's owned by almost 30% of managers. He's the most selected Manchester City midfielder in the game. But in the last three matches, Manchester City scored 17 times and he hasn't provided any goals or assists. Lee, what do we do with him at this point?
I think it's a very luxury transfer to move him to another Manchester City midfielder, Kelly. I think if you've got him, he's probably a hold. I must admit, I looked back at some of the stats and the last time he got a haul. So the last time he hauled was against Watford away. City won 3-1. He scored a couple of goals, got 15 points. And I remember at the time looking at those stats thinking, and the reason I looked at it is because Sam had him and I didn't. And I thought, has she got Jammy again? And the answer was yes. Because Bernardo Silva had an XG of 0.22 in that game, got two goals, but very low XG. So his underlying stats weren't suggesting that he should be hauling. And then in the next game against Wolves at home, I think he got an assist, but it was a bit of a dodgy one, wasn't it? Where it kind of hit the Newcastle player just under the armpit. They got a penalty via VAR and he got an assist because of it. So I wonder whether we're starting to see a bit of regression to the mean for Bernardo Silva based on some of his underlying stats. So I wouldn't be buying him right now, Kelly. But having said that, it would feel like a very luxury move to move him on. So I wouldn't be selling either.
OK, let's move on now to our final fixture. It's the final fixture of Game Week 20, Manchester United against Burnley. Now, Duncan, at the time of recording, of course, we still haven't seen Manchester United in Game Week 19. But how are you feeling about this fixture?
Sort of forgot Manchester United were a Premier League football club, actually. It's been so long since we've seen them. But you do wonder whether these couple of weeks without a game, I know that some of the players have been missing from the training pitch, but whether Ralf Rangnick's really been able to sort of, you know, impart his philosophy and his knowledge to the team. So I'm quite intrigued to see how United return to action and how much they've progressed. Obviously, we've talked already about a lot of people bringing in Cristiano Ronaldo with this set of fixtures, and we are yet to see how he's going to do against Newcastle at the time of recording. But I do think, you know, he has got a good chance of getting some big hauls over the next few weeks. But I do think elsewhere in the team, there's some real opportunities now. You know, with the formation that Rangnick's going to go for, you know, he traditionally goes for a 4-2-2-2. Mason Greenwood has sort of complained apparently about not getting game time. You know, he's still only owned by 5.2% of people, and he is over 2 million cheaper than Rashford. I mean, Marcus Rashford, obviously a reliable points hauler in recent seasons, he's only owned by 0.9% of people at the moment. So that's a, you know, massive potential differential, I think, if he gets a run in the team and starts playing well. And then the other one that leaks out is Jadon Sancho, who, you know, we know United spent a lot of money on in the summer, but hasn't really been integrated into the team very well. 18% of his expected assists this season have come under Rangnick in two games. So that shows that even though he hasn't necessarily got the headline so far under Rangnick, I think he will be one of the main beneficiaries of how United are going to play differently. So for me, Sancho, I think, has got the potential to be one of the best players in the Premier League in the second half of the season. Whether you go in straight away or whether you wait to see if that does come true over the next few weeks, I guess is up to you. But I think there are definitely some good attacking options for United.
Tom, you'll be hoping that Cristiano Ronaldo is the main Manchester United attacking option in coming weeks, given the fact that you've brought him in Salah's absence. Does he now become a prime option for captaincy, do you think, over these weeks?
Yes, I think he probably does. As we all know, United are at the start of what looks like a really appealing run of fixtures. Cristiano Ronaldo is obviously their main man in an attacking sense. The one worry with Ronaldo is rotation. He's been rotated, he's been rested at times this season. We know that he's not getting any younger. And with the games coming as thick and fast as they are, I think that is a risk in a way that it wasn't with Ronaldo, you know, back in his previous FPL heyday. So that is perhaps something worth bearing in mind. But yeah, I think United's fixtures, coupled with this new, more attacking approach from Ralf Rangnick, means that, and again, with Mo Salah heading off South African Cup of Nations, I think Ronaldo is going to be an increasingly popular captaincy choice in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, a reminder that Manchester United face none of the top five until game week 28, with, of course, Brentford away and Brighton at home possibly squeezed in. Just a quick word on them defensively as well, Lee, because they've been looking good, consecutive clean sheets under Rangnick. A lot of people have been looking at Diogo Dalot. Do you expect a clean sheet in this game against Burnley, who haven't exactly been free scoring?
Yes, I did, Kelly. I got Dalot on my free hit. And at the time of recording, we don't know whether that's going to be good or bad because they're yet to play Newcastle tonight. But I do expect them to get one against Burnley as well. So, yeah, I do like having both Ronaldo and Dalot in my free hit. The problem with the free hit is, of course, I won't have them next week in game week 20. So I will start to be building my team, I think, more around the likes of Manchester United. The guys have already mentioned the fixtures coming up. Looking pretty, pretty good. And, you know, once Salah goes off to the African Cup of Nations, I will expect Ronaldo to be, you know, one of the go-to captaincy options. So, yeah, Dalot looks really good at his price. And if he can keep that spot and make it his own, and Wan-Bissaka's not going to come back in because the threat of rotation is still there, I think, from Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka doesn't become a non-option overnight. But certainly in the Ranić setup, in the way that he's trying to get United playing, Dalot looks as if he's the one.
Yeah, Manchester United versus Burnley concludes game week 20. Let's now move on to our final section of the podcast and ask what the panel are doing with their teams for the imminent game week. Not long for our panel to make their transfers and make these decisions. And Duncan, it sounds like you've got a fair few decisions to make before the deadline.
Well, as discussed, there's the free hit possibility still there with two Arsenal and two Villa players clogging up my team. But I could negotiate it. Obviously got Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold to come back off the bench. So I think probably maybe get rid of Lacazette straight away somehow and then Salah in as captain just so I can enjoy Tom's pain all the more sweetly.
So Duncan's still not sure about the free hit. Lee, you can't use yours even though the game week 20 free hit is now available because you played yours in game week 19. So how are you going to navigate around game week 20?
Well, I wish I could play the second free hit, Kelly, to be honest with you, because I'm looking at the team. I've got no Rafinha, no Smith Rowe, no Ollie Watkins. So I've already spoke about the fact I'm probably going to roll without a goalkeeper as well and keep faith with Ramsdale and have him come back in game week 21. So the buffer that I have built up in game week 19 by using the free hit, I'm expecting to need to use that buffer in game week 20. So I'm probably going to do something with Smith Rowe. We talked about him before. We talked about the fact that Arsenal's fixtures don't look too great, even when they come out of this blank since the Wolves game is called off. And of course, with Smith Rowe probably losing his place by the looks of it to some of the other players in that Arsenal side, I've got to probably move him on. And I must admit, I'm looking pretty closely at Lucas Moura. I haven't got enough money to move Smith Rowe to Son. That would mean pretty big surgery in my team. It probably mean me losing Salah, which clearly I'm not going to do for the next couple of game weeks at least. So Smith Rowe to Lucas Moura, yeah, that looks okay to me, given that he's been good to me this week on the free hit. Maybe I'll have him in my team permanently.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice transfer. What about you, Tom? How are you going to salvage this team that you're so angry with at the moment?
So my transfer plans, I'm doing Tino Livramento out and Sergio Reguilón of Tottenham
Ooh,
in.
Nice.
Tottenham obviously have turned a corner. Reguilón is a vital element of the way they play now under Conte in that left wing back role. And just as a broader point, I think with all these postponements, with the tight turnaround in matches, it's never been more important to have real squad depth in FPL. So I am, wherever possible, trying to make sure that pretty much everyone in my squad is a relatively important player for their respective club. And as a consequence, if games are called off at short notice, I don't find myself, you know, peering at my subs bench with quite the same sense of trepidation that I might have done earlier on in the season. So that's the transfer plan for game week 20.
And finally, captaincy and vice captaincy. I'm guessing Lee and Duncan, you're both going to say Mo Salah the way you've waxed lyrical about him on the podcast so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as we said, Alexander-Arnold is also a tempting option. But it feels like we might as well squeeze as many points as out of Salah as we can get before AFCON. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, Salah for me as well, Kelly. I agree with you, Duncan. Trent looks tempting, but I don't think you can look past Salah for this game. Looks really, really good. I think vice-captain, I'll probably stick it on a Man City player. And although I'm expecting Foden to come back in off the naughty step, I think Cancelo probably for me, just given his safety a start. So away at Brentford looks pretty good, I think, for a clean sheet and maybe for some attacking return. So vice-captain Cancelo.
What about you, Tom? No Salah, in case the listener wasn't aware at this point.
I mean, as everyone knows, the Mo Salah bubble has burst now. So I'll be putting the captain's armband on Cristiano Ronaldo. I think probably vice-captaining Son Heung-min. or maybe Trent Alexander-Arnold, and doing so with a clear conscience and no anxiety about that Leicester Liverpool game whatsoever.
Well, the very best of luck to you all, particularly you, Tom, and your sofa. That's all we've got time for this week. Your deadline, again, is 1:30 p.m. UK time on Tuesday, the 28th of December. It's a bank holiday here in the UK. So if you're not in the UK, do not get caught out by that slightly earlier deadline. Also, remember that if you haven't used your first wildcard, this is your last chance to do so. Use it or lose it. Our mini league code again for those who haven't joined is 1KIKS7. And remember, you can keep up to date with everything FPL wise on fantasy.premierleague.com. For now, though, tuck back into the leftovers, enjoy the football, and we'll be back at the later time of Friday upon the conclusion of Game Week 20.